Morning, John.
I'm an angel too.
You are an angel.
I'm an angel too. I've got an angel voice.
You are, mate. That's it. Yeah. Let's bring that a little bit closer to you.
Okay.
There you go. There you go. So it's been a month already. Yeah, you'll have to hold that because it's springs and they get a bit excited and go upwards.
You need some sellotape.
Yeah, a piece of rope hanging onto the chair there.
Yeah. Okay.
So what have you been up to then? Because you own. This is. I really look forward to our chats once a month. Because you own the Banksy in Wales, don't you?
Yeah.
And it's always quite exciting to be brought up to speed as to what's going on with such a huge piece of artwork.
It's unbelievably frustrating.
I can imagine.
I went to Wales and I said, come on, guys, you know, Banksy's given you this piece of artwork into the town for the benefit of the town.
Yeah.
Let's put a museum around it.
Yeah, yeah.
Clients were lending other Banksy's. I've got some other Banksy's, all the rest of it. Let's put it on. And the reaction I got was, really?
Seriously, is it because they're Welsh, they're like a different culture?
They felt that somebody was, because I was coming from England, I was coming in and trying to tell them what to do.
Oh, I see. So they've gone defensive.
Yes.
Oh, so I see.
Instead of saying, this is a way of putting 150,000 visitors into your town.
Yeah, yeah.
Spending money in coffee shops, sticky bun shops, all the rest of it.
Yeah.
They've come in, their mentality is, you're trying to tell us what to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, it was a, will you work with me, not will you work for me?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And they couldn't see the difference, so.
Yeah, yeah, just on defensive.
They Port Talbot had over £30 million worth of TV advertising for time. And they've done nothing with it. There isn't a single sign in the town telling anybody where the Banksy is.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've put it in a building with a plate glass window so you can't see it. You literally have to put your forehead against the glass.
Because the outside's brighter than the inside.
Yeah, exactly, acts like a mirror.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I said to them, you know, the Eden Project, they found a hole.
What is this ground? I've heard a bit about this Eden Project.
It's phenomenal. We were there the very, very first day it opened to the public, and it was just a hole with a steel structure.
Right.
And then a year later, we were back for the first day that there were any plants there.
Yeah, yeah.
And the steel weighs less than the air inside the building.
Oh, really?
And it's just a mind-blowing, different way of looking at things.
Yeah.
And it's basically a garden.
Yeah.
No, but it's as much a garden as Buckingham Palace is a garden shed.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
They are, you know. And it is just mind-blowing. But there are no motorways near the Eden Project.
Right.
There are no A-roads near the Eden Project.
Yeah.
There are no railways near the Eden Project.
Yeah.
And they've had 20 million visitors with £2 billion into the local economy.
Yeah.
For what is effectively a garden shed in a hole in the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas Port Talbot, the EU spent £110 million building a 4-mile spur off the motorway into the middle of town.
Right.
That's it. There's nothing at the end of it.
Oh, we'll see. That's it. That's where it finishes.
You know, there were two exits on the motorway into Port Talbot.
Yeah.
There's a railway station 45 yards from the Banksy.
Yeah.
And there was nothing to encourage people to get off the train and come into the town. There's nothing to get them off the motorway into the town. Nothing. So now what we're going to do is, I've learned my lesson. I was suffering from stress, which I've never suffered from in my life. My partner says I'm a carrier. Other people.
It must be a very stressful situation.
It was bad. And so now there are two other cities that we're talking to about doing it. Where the two other cities, one's up north, one's down south. The one down south has 11 million people a year going through it,
but not stopping.
Mm. So if we put a street art museum there, they'll stop.
Yeah. If you can't earn a living out of 20 million people as a town.
10, but you're close.
Ten million people. But, you know, it's
exactly. That's visitors.
Yeah.
You know, that's people that are going to come and spend money in the town.
Yeah.
So in Margate, where they did something similar with the Tracy Emin exhibition space.
Yeah, yeah.
They were expecting 100,000 visitors a year.
Yeah.
Hoping for 100,000 visitors a year.
Yeah, yeah.
They're averaging 400,000 visitors a year.
Oh, really?
For every pound spent in the museum, £6 is spent in the town.
Oh.
They've opened 130 independent stores in Margate.
Yeah.
You and I can't afford to buy anything there now. You can't buy property there now.
Yeah,
it is the destination place. So the artists have moved out of Margate and gone into Hastings. That's affected everything in Hastings now.
Yeah.
Because that was a bit on the cheap side, let's be honest.
And that's up and coming now, very much so.
That is now up and coming because of this movement. And we wanted to do something similar in, as I say, in two towns, one up north, one down south. In both towns, we're looking at 400,000 to 500,000 visitors a year.
Oh, really?
And, you know, part of it is giving children pre-cut stencils, because I'm not going to give a coachload of seven-year-olds scalpels to cut their own stencils.
I can see problems with that. Yeah, I can see a problem arising somewhere.
You have to
somewhere.
Clean up the blood at least once a week, you know.
Call me old-fashioned, but that's not a good idea.
So we'll give them the raw materials, if you like, to create their own artwork. Yeah, we'll give the slightly older ones, the teenagers, effectively dummy walls for them to do street art on.
Yeah.
So they can do it there. They can create their own artwork. And out of maybe 1,000, one of them will then take a serious interest in art for the future. Mm. That's what we need. We need the artists to come through in 10, 20 years' time.
Yeah, yeah.
So that'll all be free for the children. It'll be free for the residents of the local town. So if we were to do it in London, it wouldn't be free for everybody in London. We'd do it for the borough or whatever. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And also for the unemployed. So we'll use local people for the cafe. I mean, the idea is wherever we do this, the money will stay in the town.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, I went to down bottom left-hand corner of England, down Devonish sort of way, and we went past Stonehenge. Now, that is just a dozen stones, big stones, standing up in the middle of a field that are 1,000 years old.
With a lot of speculation.
Yes.
Nobody actually knows.
No. Yeah, that's right. It's all theories. They know the stones came from Wales.
Yeah.
That's all they really know. How they transported them there, nobody knows. Why they're there or what they're doing, nobody really knows. And they've built a visitor centre there. Somebody bought the farmer's field that it was in. They've built a visitor centre there. The money they take, John, just because of this, is phenomenal.
Absolutely, yeah.
So Port Talbot can earn fortunes out of this.
They don't want to know.
See, it is because they just think, he knows better.
The developers, it was social housing that did the actual development this has been moved into. And the developers gave the council the building, 6,000 square feet, for £1 a year.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do more to help a community than that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not happening. So they're going to have a centre for Welsh art, which is a very different thing for an international artist.
Yeah.
And they're going to have the local schools exhibiting, they're going to have the local art societies, things like that, which is all very well and good. But there are other exhibition spaces in Wales.
Yeah.
And nobody goes to visit them anyway. So you're only going to get the locals going to visit. And if the locals visit, they're not going to bother spending money in the town because they spend money in their own towns.
No, that once they've seen it once or twice, that's that, and they don't go back again. But you need an influx of people.
So instead of having people like Damien Hirst and Tracy Emin and Coors and Pure Evil, who actually lives, his family comes from the area, and Michael Sheen bought his mother's house and all that sort of stuff. So those local connections to international level art. They're going to have the local artists so they don't upset anybody. Now, some of that local art will be very good.
Yeah.
But their criteria is going to be, is it local, not is it good?
Yes, it should be.
Whereas my
good.
Criteria should be, is it good?
On the good.
You know, if you want to learn about playing tennis, you want to play against the best person you can find, not the next-door neighbour.
Because it drags you up to their level.
Yeah. They see it differently. And they see it as somebody coming in, telling them what to do. And they don't want that. So fair enough. So we'll move the concept. I've learned an awful lot from it.
Yeah.
And I couldn't, you know, when you look at the Eden project, it shows, even with Stonehenge is another good example. If you give people the right reason, they will travel hundreds of miles.
Of course they will. To see
something.
Yeah.
Or to participate in something. So the idea is that, you know, youngsters can make their own things. I suspect that we'll get older people doing it as well.
Yeah.
Yep. That's fine. You know, we'll have all the materials there. They can do it. But people can participate.
Yeah.
And if they participate, they feel good. And if they feel good, they then go into the town and they spend some money for you.
The visitor centre at Stonehenge.
I mean, there isn't much else there, is there?
No, there's nothing else there.
It's
nothing
a captive audience.
Yeah, it's captive audience. They've got a little cafe. They've got a little gift shop.
And the coffees are probably £10 or something.
but they've got you. You're in the middle of a farmer's field, in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, exactly.
There's one road going through the middle of it, and that's it. But what they've done was, very cleverly, they've exploited every... Because they know people go to Stonehenge on the summer solstice and winter solstice. Yes. What they've done is they've videoed the sun coming up on the summer and winter solstice and going down. And they've got on one side of the visitor centre, they've made like a which you could do all this. They've made like a little exhibition of it. They've got white walls and a projector in the centre. And one side, you turn and face the right-hand side, and that would be, that shows you the video of the sun coming up, just projected onto a white wall. And then as the sun comes up, the left-hand one comes alight, and you see the sun go across the top and down the bottom, and you see the alignments and all the rest, which is what everybody goes there for winter and summer solstice. And it's packed on those two days. From 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Now, you don't have to go there on those 2 days. You can go into the visitor centre and see exactly the same thing. Yes. It's a fantastic idea.
But, of course, for the people that believe and it's significant to, they want the atmosphere as well as the date.
Yeah, that's right. So the date,
the fact that they're surrounded by 100 or 1,000 people or 10,000 people who believe the same things that they believe.
Yeah.
It's like a religious experience, isn't it? It's you know, it's a mass experience. And that's why they go on those 2 dates.
Well, those 2 dates, when you look at videos, I've seen videos on YouTube of those 2 dates in that area, and it's full of people. You do look at them and go, hold up, witches, warlocks, you've got monks wandering about, you've got druids. Honestly, you look, you go, oh, everyone's been thrown
into... Have you seen Brentwood High Street on a Friday night? We've got all of those.
This is real. Have a look. When you get back, have a look on YouTube at Winter and Summer Solstice on Stone Age. And you'll see them all wandering about in all the
gear.
All the get-up. Yeah, all the gear.
Well,
on.
You know, everybody's
going to
have a
That's what you want in Port Talbot.
That's what you want anywhere, you know. So it's going to be fun. Wherever we do the... I mean, we'll do this project somewhere. But it's going to be fun. And it's going to be... It's going to be eye-opening for people.
Yes, it will be.
What I find strange is, you know... The biggest destroyer of modern art is local councils.
I can understand that.
Because one person complains.
Mm.
I mean, for instance, Clacton is not the wealthiest town in the world.
Yeah. Right?
And Banksy went and did a piece on the wall there.
Yeah.
And one lady complained to the council that she thought it was racist. So within 12 hours, it was water jetted off.
Really? Not taken down and then put on... on the show.
No, if I'd known about it, I'd have bought it. No, it was water jetted off, and therefore, all those local taxis, all those local coffee shops, all those local...
They all lost out in the long run.
All lost out. And of course, because of the laws in England, nobody knows who she is.
Yeah.
They're not allowed to say Mrs. Jones of number 23 Acacia Avenue didn't like it.
Banksy'd be straight round there,
No, he wouldn't go again. Once you do that to an artist, he's not going to go back.
No, of course he won't. He won't go back, no, not at all.
So, you know, how much has Clacton lost?
Oh, fortunes over the years, over a good 10-year period, fortunes.
You know, and again, like Margate, all that money, people go to that one spot, but then they filter out.
Yeah, of course. They've got to get to it and from it.
One of the things we are going to do is when you go through the museum, once you come out, you'll be given a map. Everybody will be given a map of the town.
Yeah.
And on it will be all the other street artists. So some people just put it in the bin. And other people will take that map and wander into the town that wouldn't have done otherwise. So when you're wandering around, not like today, but if you're wandering around on a nice day, you'll stop in a bar or you'll stop in a cafe or you'll buy a... newspaper or whatever, you know. People will buy things because they're wandering around having a nice time.
Yeah.
So you take them out of the museum into the local community and they spend money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They don't... I don't want them to just go look at the Banksy and go home again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it becomes a day out for them. And it's the whole thing is great. And as I say, I am so sad for the people that live in Port Talbot because they're the losers.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll just take the idea and move it somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've had 7 months of education.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is now, 8 months of education of how to do this and create it. If they don't want it, somewhere else will. You know, we were using Connor Brothers, Damien Hirst, Tracy Emin, Pure Evil, all these art, My Dog Sized, has done an amazing piece for me. Like a Stonehenge, people want to walk into it.
Yeah, yeah.
My Dog Sized paints an eye with a reflection in it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So in the iris, there's a figure standing there.
Yeah,
so when you look
at
the painting. And he made a room, effectively, that you walk into, and you've got your mobile phone at one end on a stand, and you take a photograph, and when it's you are the reflection in the eye of the picture you're looking at.
Yeah, yeah.
It's massive. It's a huge installation piece. We want to use that in the museum so that people can go and have it on their own phone. So it's not, we're not selling them anything, but on their own phone, they can be part of an internationally recognised artist's artwork.
Well, John, it's always fascinating to listen to you, and we'll see you again the same time next month.